But anyway, we live in very precarious times. And we need to pray more. We need to pray more. I mean, and just humble ourselves and make ourselves available to the Lord. This is the time when everything, and as I walked in this morning and we were singing the song, all other ground is sinking sand. It hit me. Each one of us has certain grounds we are trying to hold on to. Each one of us has some grounds you're trying to hold on. Maybe it is things you've been told since you were young. Maybe it is things you've believed. Maybe it is things you've studied in school. Maybe it is things you know. Maybe it is experience. Maybe it is knowledge. Maybe it is, but all that ground is sinking sand. And every day there are things to remind us that all other ground is sinking sand. So I thought I'll just begin with that as my rejoinder, opener, and prepare us, and then I'll launch into the word that I want to share this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we again come before you as children hungry, coming to the table to be fed. And Lord, some of us are thirsty for a drink. Others are hungry for protein. Others are hungry for carbohydrate. Some are hungry for milk. Each one of us is hungry, and we need you to feed us. But sometimes, Lord, we come and we don't even know what we want to eat. But Lord, we thank you because you know what you want us to eat. And so you've prepared something for us to eat. And so we make ourselves available, Father, that you may feed us. Feed us on what you have prepared, Lord. And Father, as you feed us, help us to internalize. Help us to believe. And help us to remember and to act upon that which you speak to us. Especially after we leave this place. And when we are going through our daily life, may the Holy Spirit continually minister to us, bringing the Word of God to memory and mixing it with our faith and helping us to walk according to your purposes and your expectations. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. For it is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we do pray. Amen. About 2-3 weeks ago, I started briefly talking about what I called a focus on some of the women that God has used in Scripture. And that particular Sunday, we looked at a story of a widow, the wife of a prophet that had died, leaving a lot of debt. And the time had come for the wife, for the widow, to have her children taken away from her because the creditors, or the lenders, wanted to get their money back. And in many ways, many of us can relate to that, because I believe that many of us either possess or have had or have had a debt, or even still have a debt or credit, or somehow there's a lender somewhere who may even be threatening to repossess something from us, or may want to come and repossess something from us. So in this country, it's very easy to relate to a story like that, because I was listening the other time again, and some people were saying that 80% of the households in America are in debt one way or the other. And of course, we know that the country itself certainly is in debt, right? So we can relate to that. And today I want us to continue with that particular series for a while. And we will be going back to the same book, in the book of 2 Kings. And we'll be going back to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4, just about the same place where we read last time. And we will read, it's a bit long, but I'm going to ask that we read this long passage of scripture, 2 Kings chapter 4 from verse 8. You remember the last time we looked at verses 1 to 7. Now we shall look at verses 8 through 36. It's a bit long, but I ask that you become patient as we read the Word of God, because the Word of God is good to read. And if we just read and I didn't speak, the Word itself will have spoken to us. And I think it is more important that the Word speaks to us than that I speak to you. Because the Holy Spirit inside of us interprets the Word for each one of us according to our circumstances. So let us read together. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 8 to 36 of 2 Kings.
Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there, and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?'" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." So he said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord. Man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to his servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you." And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, "Look, the Shunammite woman. Please run down to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." So she said, Did I ask for a son, my lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Get yourself ready, and take my staff in your hand, and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him again. But lay my staff on the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi went on ahead of them and laid the staff on the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Therefore he went back to meet him and told him, saying, "The child has not awakened." When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child, and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out upon the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, "Pick up your son."
Praise the name of the living God. This is a powerful story. It's not a parable. This is something that happened. Real. Physical. And I can relate to it in a number of ways. A Shunammite woman, rich, and today, if any one of us, the Lord visited us and asked, "What can I do for you?" Lord, some more money, right? But here was a woman who needed nothing. She had all the money she needed. She had servants. She had donkeys and horses. She just gave an order. And they gave her chariots to go where she wanted. Married. And I'm sure marriage is something that many people would look for today. And she was godly. She feared the Lord. She feared God. She loved the Lord. But she had a challenge. And her challenge, she did not have a child. The interesting thing in the story is that the woman is not even crying and complaining and grumbling and asking for the child. No. She's not, at that particular time, concerned or bothered about the issue that she does not have a child. I'll come back to that point. I just wanted to lay that foundation and put it there. Remember the last time when we started this series, I said, today there are people who debate whether women should even be involved in ministry. And my interest is partly to contribute to that conversation and say God, from time immemorial, has worked with women, has worked through women. Doesn't sound very good to say he has used women, but God has used women. He has worked through women, he has used them, he has worked with them as partners in ministry. There are a number of opportunities, there are a number of examples in the Bible where we see women led and used and spoken to by God. And even when they had their husbands in their company, God chose to speak to the women even when the husbands were right there. One obvious example is in Judges chapter 13. Mr. Manoah, the father of one of the great judges and leaders of his time. That particular time, Mr. Manoah was at home, and the lady was in the garden. And the angel of God came and spoke to the lady. And the lady runs home and says, "He's spoken to me." He says, "Are you sure?" And he says, "I am sure. This was an angel. He spoke to me." It's then that Mr. Manoah says, "We'll go together to the garden." And then the angel shows up again. But first and foremost, the angel had spoken to the woman and not to the man. Is it surprising that even our Lord himself chose to appear first to a woman and to speak to the woman, and to ask the woman to go and preach the gospel of his resurrection to his disciples. Go tell them the good news. Remind them. Tell them that he's risen, as he said. And let them go to Galilee and I'll meet them there. So there's evidence that the Lord oftentimes worked with, spoke through the women. But let's come back to our story now. In these three stories that I've mentioned, so far, the stories that I've talked about, God often spoke to the women, and the women recognized God before the men did. Many times, churches are more packed with women than they are with men. The Lord Jesus Christ had very many women following him. Same for the cultural context of the time where women were never counted, but the men were. I want to believe that there may have been more women in those crowds trailing Jesus and following Jesus, and there were men. The Shunammite woman teaches us, just like all the other three stories that I've mentioned, they teach us something about, number one, being sensitive to the move of God. Sensitivity to the move of God. We had a bishop in Uganda. He's since gone to be with the Lord, but he was called Bishop Festo Kivenjere. He's one of the bishops, those of you who may remember a little bit of the history of Uganda. There was a president called Idi Amin, and he's one of the bishops the president wanted to kill. And he fled the country, and he came and lived in this country for a very long time before he came back after Idi Amin had been deposed from power. He wrote a very small pamphlet, which I read as a small boy. And I think that pamphlet was no more than 6-8 pages. I don't think it was more than that. I don't remember the exact number of pages, but it was a very small pamphlet. It was a little booklet. And I was a young boy growing up. And the title of the booklet was, "When God Moves, You Move Too." And that passage, that booklet touched me. And up to today, it's one of the words that keeps speaking to me. Many times God moves, and we don't move with him. And many times we ask the Lord and say, "Father, come and move." And when he moves, we don't recognize that he has moved. Joseph and Mary thought Jesus was in the congregation with them. And they walked a 3-day journey, but Jesus was not with them. They moved and left him behind. There are many times we move and we leave God behind us. And there are many times we run ahead of him. He's saying, "Slow down." And you are saying, "No, Lord, I want it now. It has to be today. Father, it's today. If it's not today, then it's not true." And the Lord is saying, "Slow down. When God moves, you move too." But sensitivity to the work of God and to the move of the Holy Spirit. Verses 9 to 10 of the passage we just read. This man of God had always passed that place. The man of God had always passed there. And this woman had taken recognition, had taken cognizance of the fact that this man is a man of God. He passes here every so often. The husband hadn't noticed that. The husband knew that he's a man who passes, men pass, And this lady says to the man, "Listen, this is not an ordinary man, and I have an idea. Can we take a special room and prepare this room? Put a table in there, put a lamp in there, and put a bed in there for this man of God, so that when he comes, he will have a place where he can rest. Can we prepare a room?" Sensitivity to the work of God. Yeah. And many times God wants to do great things in our life, but we have not prepared a room. Does God have room in your business? Does God have room in your marriage? Does God have room in your home? Does God have room in your heart? Does God have room among your children? Many times we are trying to fix it ourselves. Lord, I can deal with this. I can do it. And the Lord keeps passing by. And the Lord keeps passing by. And you know, it seems the Lord likes passing by. I can give you example upon example where the Lord was passing by. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus was passing by. If the man had not been sensitive enough to say, you know what, we know you are a stranger, but come with us, he would have passed them. When the three men came to Abraham, they were passing by. When Abraham saw them, he said, wait a moment, can you come in and let my wife prepare something for you? They would have passed by. And here is another example. The man of God kept passing by and kept passing by. And the lady had to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Ability to create room for God. And yes, we can all say we've created room for God. We all come to church on Sunday. Amen? So we've created room for God. And sometimes God is saying, I want a table in the room. I want a table. It's not enough to have a room. I want a table in that room. I want a lamp in that room. And I want a bed in that room. The Tsunammite woman teaches us another very important lesson, that your faith in action to God. Faith in action, your acts of compassion, your giving, your labor of love, your pain in the ministry, your work speaks to God. Not long ago, the Lord spoke to us. My wife and I were praying and fasting and waiting on the Lord. And during that week, the Lord spoke to us through my wife. And he gave us the passage in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius. And the Lord said to Cornelius, your giving and your prayers have ascended to heaven. Your giving, your prayers speak to God. They ascend. Sometimes it is not even kneeling in prayer. I read the story of a man who was a laborer. And he labored and worked long hours. And he had a very short break of about 30 minutes. And during that break, this dear brother, who was a Christian, he chose to use his break to walk to church to go and pray. But each way took him 15 minutes to walk. So it took him 15 minutes to walk to the church and 15 minutes to walk back to his job. And so he would always come into the church and kneel down on one leg and say, Lord, I just came to show up to say thank you. And he got up and he went back. And the pastor watched this man. And he wondered, this man who always comes, spends less than 10 seconds in the church, and goes back. And one day he determined he was going to ask him why he does not spend, why he does not learn how to spend more time in the presence of the Lord. And the man said to him, Pastor, every step that I take walking, coming here, I'm praying. So I'm praying for 15 minutes coming here. And I'm praying for 15 minutes going back. The 1 minute is for Oracle. That's the one I come to do in the church. I only come here for Oracle. But the praying happens on the way. Every situation, every circumstance, wherever you are, whatever you are doing, is an opportunity to commune with the Lord, to be in fellowship with God. Whether you are at work, and people talk about full-time ministers, we are all full-time ministers, hallelujah. And whether you are driving, and whether you are parking, and whether you are teaching, and whatever you are doing, whether you are playing a game, you are in service. Your acts of faith and acts of compassion have ascended to God. My other lesson that I picked from this wonderful story. Focus on the things of God. And God will focus on your need. Let me tell you, friends, when we focus on the things of God, God will trouble someone. God will trouble somebody. God will disturb someone. This woman just prepared a room, put a table, put a bed, put a lamp, put a meal, and she stopped there. And God troubled the prophet. And the prophet asked, "What can we do for this woman?" And the woman said nothing. She didn't say anything about her problem. She didn't say anything about her need. But how many times do we go to God and the only thing we know how to go to God with, "Lord, give me. I need. Give me. Lord. And if you don't, Lord." This woman just prepared a table for the Lord and left it in the hands of the Lord. And the prophet asks, "What can we do for you?" And she says, "Nothing. I have everything I need." And he says, No. "Can I speak to the king on your behalf?" And she says, "No." "Can I speak to the commander-in-chief or the military commander on your behalf?" And she says, "No." And the prophet is troubled. And he says, "Something is not right here. I call him Gehaz, you call him Gehazi. He's the same person, right?" Gehaz says, "You know what? I think I've noticed something. Every time we've come here, I haven't seen a kid running around in this home. I think this woman doesn't have a kid." The prophet of God says, "That's it. That's it. I know what we are going to do for him. Call her. Call her." The Spirit of God comes into him. The unction comes into him. The prompting of God comes. Many times we need the prompting of God. And this woman comes and the prophet says, "This time next year, you will be carrying a child." And she says, "Have I desired a child? Don't tell me a lie. Don't deceive me. Don't promise me what will not happen. Don't excite me. And it doesn't happen." One day, I had been working. I worked for the organization called World Vision for a very long time in my country. And one day I was returning from a community. And I had spoken the word of God in that community. And there was one lady who asked for a ride back into the city. And this was a very rural community where there was no transportation. And this lady was called Christine. And I gave her a ride, and as we drove into the city, I started to share the gospel with her. And this lady says to me, "You know, I would have given my life to Christ, but I don't have a child. I've been married for over 10 years, I don't have a child. And I would have given my life to Jesus Christ, but there are things that I'm doing to try and get a child. And I say to her, Christine, that's the easiest thing for the Lord to do. The Lord can give you a child. You don't need to look for a child outside of the Lord. The Lord himself can give you a child. This woman said to me, are you sure? I said, yes. And she said, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. And I parked the car on the road, on the side of the road. It was late in the night. It must have been around 8, 9 in the night. I don't remember the exact hour. And I parked the car on the side of the road. In my country, where I came from, on the side of the road you can park. It's not like here. You park here on the side of the road. Somebody will come and ask you questions. And we prayed. Right there in the car. And I led Christian to the Lord. And after that, we started off the car. And a huge storm, powerful storm came down. At one stage, we drove and entered a place, which we'll know, a sunken place which had collected a lot of water. And the little car that I drove, I was still a young man at the time, and I think I was doing some good speed. It was raining. And the car got into this pool, and it could have done anything. But thank God, it didn't do anything. And this lady says, at least I have given my life to Christ. A few months down the road, this lady got very, very sick. Very, very sick. Very sick. And she kept sending for me. And she got very sick and got sicker and sicker and got sick and got sick. And then when eventually she decided, you know what, she needed to go to hospital. She went to hospital. And they told her, actually, you're pregnant. And Christine gave birth. And that's why I said I can relate to this story. The Shunammite woman concentrated on the things of God. And God concentrated on her need. I don't know what your need and my need is. Each one of us has a need. When the pastor was asking anybody with prayer requests, I expected every hand to go up. Because we all have prayer needs. We don't want to become prayer projects, but we all have prayer needs. This woman concentrated on the things that were needed in the kingdom of God. Find something that is needed in the kingdom of God. Concentrate on what is needed in the kingdom of God. And the Lord will concentrate on your need. And the Lord will focus on your need. And the Lord will trouble somebody on your behalf. And the Lord will speak to somebody on your behalf. This was the sixth miracle that Elisha the prophet performed. Look at verse 17. And the woman conceived and bare son. And that season that Elisha had said to her, according to the time of life, she bore the child. It's very interesting. Faith disregards facts and circumstances. There is a difference between truth and fact. The circumstances may be speaking one thing. The truth may be saying another thing. The fact may be that I am sick and I don't think I'm going to get up. It's a fact. The truth says, by his stripes, you are healed. The fact may be that I'm in debt. And I don't have money. The truth says, if you obey, you will eat the good things of the land. That is the truth. Faith disregards facts and circumstances and concentrates on the truth. Concentrate on the truth. What has the Word of God said? It's not always easy. It's not always easy. It doesn't happen automatically. Sometimes, you know, you know the truth. But you're even trying to convince yourself this is the truth, and then you're also saying, but the truth and the facts seem to be agreeing. But I got my next lesson from this Shunammite woman. In my next lesson, and that's why I read the whole scripture, so I'm not reading the verses, because we read the whole passage. This is a very interesting lesson for me. Do not let people who don't have your level of faith and vision put you down. Do not let people who don't have your level of faith and your vision put you down. Here is the woman who was sailing in a totally different world as far as her faith was concerned with the Lord. She recognized the man of God before her husband did. She knew what the prophet said. The husband did not even probably know. The child died. The husband doesn't even know. The child has died. But the child has died. The woman puts the child in bed, locks the door. Now, this has to be a very tough woman, right? And I'm sure the police at the time were not. But the woman has, the child has died. She puts the woman in bed, the child in bed, and says to the husband, send me a chariot, send me some horses, send me some young men. And the man says, where are you going? And she says, I have to go and see the man of God. And the answer from the husband is, why trouble him at this time of the season? The man doesn't have the vision. The man doesn't have the faith. Right. He's trying to discourage her. Right. Are there people who have tried to discourage you? It could be family. Yeah. It could be friends. It could be neighbors. It could be colleagues. It could be anybody. And they're trying to discourage you. Mm-hmm. They don't have your vision. They don't have your faith. Do not let the people who do not have your level of faith and vision pull you down. Let's look at verse 22 and 23.
Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.
A new moon? You're worrying about a new moon? There is greater stuff to worry about. Your son is dead. And you're worrying about a new moon? He was worrying about a new moon and a new Sabbath, and his son is dead. There is more to our journey than new moons and new Sabbaths. There is more to this faith than new moons and new Sabbaths. The faith to which we've been called, the faith into which we walk, the calling that has the Lord has called us into, there is more to it than new moons and new Sabbaths. My next lesson. The things of God often require urgency and determination. If you are going to accomplish the things of God, it often calls for urgency and determination. And I have passages of scripture that I can reference. Look at 24 and 26. Right there.
Then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel.
Drive, do not slacken until I tell you. Come on, these are things of God. The things of God sometimes require urgency. Oftentimes, they require urgency and determination. Don't slow me down. If the Lord has said, go and do it, I will go and do it. If the Lord is telling me, go, I will go. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 8. 1 Samuel 21, verse 8. Samuel 21, verse 8.
And David said to Ahimelech, Is there not on hand a spear or a sword? For I have brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste.
The king's business requires haste. Here was David fleeing from Saul. And he's fleeing from Saul, but he says the king's business requires haste. Friends, the things of God oftentimes require haste. Unfortunately, it is often easier for us to slacken when it comes to the things of God than when it comes to the IRS. It's oftentimes easier for us to slacken when it comes to the things of God than when it comes to things of this world. And we are all oftentimes caught on the wrong side of this puzzle. And don't we need the grace of God to help us to recognize that the things of God oftentimes require urgency and determination. My next point, do not just settle for the miracle. Seek the relationship and connection with the miracle giver. Do not just settle for the miracle. We live in an era today where everybody is just seeking the miracle. People just need the miracle. It doesn't matter who gives you the miracle. As long as you get the miracle. They found this blind man. He had been blind from childhood. And they asked him, no, Jesus actually himself found him and said, who made you well? And the man says, I don't know. All I know is that somebody made me well. If I knew him, I would say thank you to him. And Jesus says to him, he's the one talking to you now. But many times, we are looking for the miracle, but not the miracle giver. Look at 25 through 30.
So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to his servant Gehazi, look, the Shunammite woman, please run to her now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress.
This woman, she knew she had got a miracle. But her relationship was beyond her connection to the miracle. Her connection was to the miracle giver. She knew this miracle came from somewhere. This miracle did not come from my husband. He did not all of a sudden become a very good husband. This miracle came from somewhere. And she ran to the man of God. And when she gets to the man of God, she grabs his feet, holds his legs, and says, something is not right. Remember the woman who came to Jesus Christ and started pouring oil on the feet and perfume on the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This woman had found a secret. Jesus was more than just a prophet. There was a relationship between this woman and Jesus Christ. This woman had a relationship with God. Look at verse 27. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me." This woman held the feet of Elisha and bonded with God. There are times when we will need to hold the feet of the cross, brethren. There are times when a 5-minute prayer is not enough. There are times when just a 2-minute prayer is not enough. There are times when the conventional is not enough. There are times when you need to hold on and say, "Lord, I don't let you go until." And sometimes you're on your knees and you don't even have the right words. But you just want to be there. Just be there. And let nobody disturb you. Just be there. Brethren, even if you don't speak, that time when you are kneeling in his presence, he knows. The Bible says, "Before you pray, I know. And while you're still praying, I will answer." You just kneel down and be there in his presence, and he will answer. The Lord will know. But in that particular passage that we just read, there are about two other lessons that I want to bring out. Number one, don't settle for less. This woman comes, and Gehazi, the servant, runs quickly and says, "It's all well, is anything?" He's looking for cheap popularity there, you know. We know from his character that Gehazi was a man who always looked for quick fixes. You remember when he ran after Naaman and said, "Come on, I mean, can we have a deal here?" He's the type of man who looked for quick fixes. And I don't know how you begin to look for quick fixes when you're working for a great man like Elisha, because you know that he will certainly know. This man is going to find out that I did something. But then, the woman says to Gehazi, "All is well." Very challenging passage. How many times are we grumbling and complaining and crying and going about telling everybody, "You know I'm dying, you know, oh, you know, oh, you know, oh, you know, oh, you know, oh." All is well. With a dead son in bed, all is well. Your son is dead, your miracle is gone, all is well. All is well. But as soon as he got the man of God, the same principle. Worry about the things of God, and let God worry about your things. She's in fellowship with the Father. She's in communion with the Father. Let the Father speak to the prophet on your behalf. There's a bonding that needs to happen between us and our Father and our God. You know, as Christians, our relationship with Christ is supposed to be one of father-child, brother to brother. A relationship. That's the level Paul reached and said, "What can separate us?" It's not easy. The Lord is not all of a sudden going to wake up and say, "Oh, Moses has failed in this, so now we have parted company." What will separate us? Right. Will pain, will suffering, will lack, will shortage, will... But let me tell you today how many people are falling away because they don't have their way. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I tried that formula, it didn't work for me. Oh, you know, I tried that prosperity gospel, it didn't work for me. Oh, you know, the pastor said, if you do this, I tried it, it didn't work for me. No. If it is not working, go back to the source. Amen. This woman went back to the source. Didn't I desire a son? Didn't I say, don't deceive me? Why did you deceive me? And immediately the Spirit of God spoke to Elisha and said, the son must be dead. And Elisha says to Gehazi, go, take my stick, take my staff, and run as fast as you can. And go and place it on the child. And Gehazi, being the man who needed cheap supplies and quick fixes, he said, this is my moment. He got the stick and he ran as fast. He ran with all the knowledge and experience that he had as a runner. And we all know the marathons have just been taking place in London, in Great Britain. And my country won one gold medal. Don't worry about how many gold medals the United States of America won. But, you know, the longest distance, the marathon, was won by the man from my country. And you can be sure that up to now, they're still celebrating that one gold medal. They're still holding. He got audience with the president. He got audience with. And then they contributed a lot of money for it. You know. So, it's not a simple thing to run. So Gehazi ran. He ran. And he took the stick and placed it on the child. And he expected the child to immediately jump up. And he put the stick and stood back. Put the stick again. Stood back. Hey, Lord. Started going back. Meet the man of God and say, the stick hasn't worked. Which gives me my next lessons, about three lessons that I want to share from that portion. Mm-hmm. Number one, be careful not to rely on your physical experiences and abilities, mm-hmm. and wisdom and knowledge and intellect, mm-hmm. instead of the spiritual guidance from God. Right. Oftentimes we are relying on our experiences. I know, I've done it. Mm-hmm. This one I've done before. We used to do it this way, it will always be done that way. Be careful that you may not rely on your physical abilities, physical experiences, physical knowledge, what you know. Rely on spiritual guidance Amen. From the Lord. Yes, I thought he was going to fix this. Because we've done it before, this is how it happens. If my boss has said, go and do it this way, it will work. No. But there's another lesson, and a very powerful one for me. I mean, if God were to ask me in the Bible, who do I want to be like? I would admire men like Elisha. And, you know, many times I just thought and imagined, you know, I was just like Elisha. I mean, these were great prophets. They accomplished things that you would wish to accomplish. Mm-hmm. A man whose dead body or dead bones can give life to a man. I mean, there was God in that man. But the thing that challenges me is his humility. He says to Gehazi, don't push her away. Something is not right. But the Lord has not revealed it to me. Today, there are very few a pastor that will accept that God has not spoken to me in that particular situation. But everybody will stand up and say, how God spoke to me, God told me, God said, and sometimes God said. You say, God said, and God said. You know, one time we were praying back home in and I keep talking about my experiences back home in the country that I came from. And one time we were praying, and there was this lady who was prophesying. But then she started prophesying about something that she had really thought about and planned, and said the best place to get these guys is in prayer and through prophecy. And it's a prophecy that is basically leading us in the direction that a certain group of the church have wanted leaders. But out of conventional wisdom, we have said, no, let's wait until the Lord will lead us in that direction. And this lady comes to prophesy, and so she prophesies. And after she prophesied, we had this wonderful brother. He went to be with the Lord. I miss him. He was a wonderful, dear brother in the Lord. A man of wisdom. When they talk about men who have wisdom that just comes from the Lord, this man had wisdom such as, you know, I cannot just easily talk about. But in very difficult circumstances, he always came up with a wonderful solution, and you knew that didn't come from man.
Yeah.
So after this sister has prophesied, the whole church is quiet now, struggling with this prophecy. And the brother says, Lord, will you let me speak to you? And the sister says, yes. Yes, you can speak. The brother says, but Lord, in your word, and he quotes a passage, he says, you know, for example, this is not the exact passage he said, but for example, something like, but in your word, in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, Lord, you told us something different from what you've just told us now. And so this sister says, oh, what did I say? What does the word say? Remind me, I've forgotten. And the brother said, this is not God. God cannot forget his word. There's no way God can forget his word. But the humility of Prophet Elisha to say, this one, I'm at loss. I don't know. I'm waiting on the Lord to tell me. Check that humility. It's a big lesson for me. And as I finish, let me share two more thoughts from this story. Another lesson that came to me as I read this passage is, sometimes it is you God wants to use, not the things you have. You know, many of us think God just wants my things. God wants my money. God wants my car. God wants my job. God wants... So, when we come to serve God, if I can bring money, I can bring money, put it there, and I go. Sometimes it is you God wants, not the things that you have. Elisha thought he would use the stick that he had, because Moses used the stick. So he gives the stick to Gehazi, who runs and goes, and the stick doesn't work. God wanted Elisha himself to go and impart life into the young man. And the Bible says he went and spread himself over the kid, mouth to mouth, nose to nose. And that way God gave life back to the kid. Sometimes it is you, not your things, that God wants. And he will use you if you make yourself available. Let us read verse 37 and I finish there.
So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out.
So she went and bowed herself to the ground. It all finishes with worship. Join me and we are going to bow ourselves to the ground. We are just going to bow ourselves to the ground. And just let God be God. It finishes with worship. Just join me up front here. Let's just bow and just take it all to God in prayer. And just take it to the Lord and cry to God and speak to Him and just bow to the Lord. It all finishes on our knees. It all finishes on our knees. She bowed herself to the ground and she worshipped. Father, we come as we are, Lord. Lord, we come just as we are. We come just as we are, Father. Many times, Lord God, we have failed. Many times we have fallen short of your glory. Many times we have been defeated, oh God, because we depended on our knowledge. We depended on our experience. We depended on our abilities. We depended on the things we know how to do, Lord. Father, sometimes we have not even been sensitive to your move when you were passing and moving and working in us, oh God. Sometimes, Lord God, we've just been complaining and we've just behaved like everybody else and just been like everybody, oh God. But Father, Lord God, from today we learn, from this lesson we learn a number of things, oh Father, from this passage. And so, Lord, we come as we are, asking that you will forgive us, oh God. Forgive us where we've been proud, oh God. Forgive our pride, oh my Father. Forgive us, oh God. Forgive us because sometimes, Lord, we've just been proud. We've just depended on our own abilities, oh God. Oh, forgive us, Lord, because many times we've just missed it completely. We've just missed the move of the Holy Spirit. We have not been sensitive when you are leading us in a particular direction, oh my God. Father, sometimes we have even opposed your leading, oh God. We have opposed you sometimes. We've gone against your leading. Father, sometimes we've gone against your guidance. Sometimes we've just gone against your leading, oh God. Forgive us. But Lord God, just like this Shunammite woman, we come because we have a need, oh God. There are unspoken needs in our hearts, oh God. There are unspoken needs in everybody's mind, oh God. There are needs that are hidden in the hearts and we cannot even declare them or speak them. But Father, you know them and we come in that confidence because you said before we pray, you already know. And while we are still praying, you have already answered, Lord God. We come in that confidence. We come in that confidence, we come in that knowledge, knowing that our Father is at work. Knowing that you are already moving, knowing that you are coming, you are looking for us. Knowing that Father, even as you pass our direction, you are looking for the opportunity to minister to us, oh God. So Father, we come just as we are. We come just as we are, Lord God. We come just as we are, Lord God.